Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSB Magazine. Every company has a story to tell, from the small startup to the large enterprise, and everything in between. This is one of them. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
And here we are.
Here we are again, talking about the truth.
We're talking about the truth, and there's complexity in the truth. It's not always straightforward.
No, but I heard that the more information you have, the quantity is really key. Is that true?
It is key. And I think the ultimate is to put as much systems and applications and technology out there as humanly possible, and even beyond that, right? Just throw bots at everything. Do as much as you possibly can, and then overwhelm the SOC and the analysts, and most importantly, the CISO, right?
Because six blades cut better than five, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
No, really. But let's give a little intro to what this is, Sean. This is a part of five conversation with Devo.
Exactly.
And we cover a fun way that they had to introduce some issues. And it's called The Log's Honest Truth.
Exactly. Exactly. And it is a fun series. And Devo is poking a bit of fun at a serious problem. And as we've said, in pretty much every joke, there's a sliver of truth, right? If not the whole thing. And today we're looking at a confession from a CISO who, in this particular case, had an opportunity to reimagine their SIM platform and their security operations program, and found it to be interesting. And so we were very fortunate to have JC Vega from Devo to shed some light on that confession. JC, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
And so if you could just give us a quick overview of this particular confession, because I can see a lot of challenge for this particular CISO as they take something that exists and try to rebuild it, which is in one way, perhaps a fun project, but in another, maybe overwhelming as well.
Well, however the Chinese proverb goes, may we be blessed to live in interesting times. And I think we're living in some very interesting times as technology and the amount of information that is available is exploding exponentially. And so we have a challenge of how do we keep up with that?
So the idea here is that there is, I would say, as you're using the Chinese proverb, but there is also a say that there is an opportunity in a crisis or in a change. So what are the opportunities here that somebody may find by looking at all these logs, looking at the way we've done things in the past, and maybe it's time to break from the usual that may not be, maybe comfortable, or maybe not what the best way to do things?
So that's, you know, it's a very interesting question. How do we take advantage of this opportunity? And the opportunities come to us in many different forms. Some are programmed where we have an expectation every few years we're going to change and update. Some are more reacting to the environment where it's a forcing function. Think of an operating system that is going through an update and the previous one will no longer be supported. So you have to adjust. In this case here, we have this ecosystem that everyone is shifting to the cloud. Whether they know it or not, they're transitioning to the cloud. And some companies and some organizations are starting out cloud native. And so how do we take something that is happening to our environment, whether we like it or not? And that is, we're in the cloud. So the on-prem solutions that we're used to and accustomed to may not adapt, or maybe a secondary iteration of that tool, or you can go to something that is born in the cloud, that is cloud native, that is designed to work in that environment. And so what we see is an explosion of data being created. We've seen that migration to the cloud, and we also see that we have to be able to analyze large amounts of information. And so that's where Devo comes in, is we're cloud native. We analyze your information from the cloud, and we deal in large data sets measured in terabytes, multiple terabytes.
It reminds me of another joke, the overnight success, right? And the joke is in overnight. And it isn't that we wake up one day in the cloud. Our companies evolve over time. New business processes are enabled. New business units are established or acquired. And we have to, as a security team, we have to address those changes with new implementations of SIEMs. Maybe we acquired one. Maybe we have three now. And so I guess my point is, we don't just arrive at a new state. We build that state over time. So I'm curious, from the CISO's perspective, how is there a right opportunity, and what is that opportunity to say, oh, enough is enough? I have too many instances of a SIEM. They're not in the cloud. My logs are disjointed and not giving me what I need.
That's a great lead into kind of the process of change management. It's, when do you do it? And there's a lot of structure and a lot of examples that you can use. One of them that I'm familiar with, we call it .milpf, which means something has to be a forcing function to cause this change, but you have to analyze what are going to be the second and third order effects of that change. So it's not just changing the technology. That may be one part of it, but you might have to change what the D stands for, doctrine. Those are your policies that you may have to change. The organizational structure may have to change in the sense of how people are designed to now operate in this new ecosystem. The training required has to change also, has to improve, or it may be impacted. And then other parts are education, how people, the leadership involved in that, and then the number of people that you need. So you don't just change one thing. It has an impact on the entire organization. So when you make that change, it has to be strategic to your operational and organizational goals. And especially when you're talking about a SIEM, the way I've talked to people about it, I mentioned to a colleague when it was time for them to change and adapt, they said, you're talking about religion, because people are embedded with their tool and they don't want to change, even if it's time to change, even if that tool is no longer supported. And there are some where through acquisitions and mergers, the focus of that tool and the research and upkeep of it goes down. Some of it's cost prohibitive on the models, especially as we start talking about the amount of data that's flowing in this ecosystem. So if you're going to change religions with your tools, you're going to have an orders of magnitude better than the current state. And that's where you really have to look at your tool and what are you trying to accomplish? And sometimes it's not just an upgrade or an evolution of change. It's a revolution of change. And that is where you're going with something that is built around your current operating environment.
Yeah, excellent point, JC. And I think the forcing function, at least for this particular confession from the CISO, was a new role, right? So presumably a lot of the embedded, I'm used to this stuff, kind of goes away. But when you're in it, you kind of lose sight of what matters, which is the business, right, Marco?
Yeah, that's what it's the glue of everything. That's why you're doing the job that you do, right? I mean, the CISO is that connection between the security of the operation, the security of the product, and now it's turning into be part of the brand, part of who you are as a company. So it's not just about security driven, it should be business driven and how the security tools can adapt to it. So again, I go back to, quantity is not the key. It's more like, how do you make quality out of this quantity?
You know, I'm not, this is not a video broadcast, but you, when I'm nodding in violent agreement with you. And, you know, in a traditional sense, for a non-security company, cybersecurity is a cost center. It's an expense that you may or may not be able to see the return unless you change your model on how you're looking at cybersecurity. I remember working with a Fortune 100 bank, and when we were having the discussion on their cybersecurity posture, they described it as using cybersecurity is the bank now. You know, they deal in dollars and cents and trust. The idea that they use cybersecurity as a competitive advantage, a strategic advantage, this is what sets them apart from their competitors. It is not a cost center. There is a cost to it, but they were capitalizing on the security of their infrastructure to distinguish them from their competitors. And in return, they're still managing the threats. They're also able to have that boardroom discussion on what the impact of cybersecurity has on the brand, not just the product. And so it shifts it from, again, from a cost center to a competitive advantage, to a strategic advantage for the organization.
So JC, as we wrap here, and of course, I would encourage everybody to look at this video series and get all these different stories of the Logs Honest Truth. For a CISO that maybe has been in a role and is kind of stuck and either has too much sprawl, too much data, can't make sense of it, or perhaps even the reverse, not enough. How do they initiate that change? What's a catalyst they can use to really help the business innovate and take things forward and protect the revenue and help drive revenue both?
So what I would say is to, one, understand your ecosystem. Understand, you know, we talk about the basics of cybersecurity. You know what's out there, know what your threats are, and know everything that's on your network or operating within your network. But you also have to have the ability to gather the data that it's producing, to use that to leverage your security program to impact the operation itself. Whatever the business is, if you can't analyze the data, the vast amount of data that's out there, you're leaving resources or you're leaving things that may be you're leaving information on the table that you're not taking advantage of. And the idea that you can manage your threats that way, you can see differences over time. You can see patterns that are over hundreds of days, not just in days, weeks, or a couple months. Because remember, in this environment, the advanced persistent threat is lying in wait, ready for that, to take advantage of that. And so you may have to detect or inspect a change that happened months ago, not days or weeks ago. Because in this instance, in our discipline, the threats have the advantage. They have the advantage of time and striking at will. We've seen that in very large-scale breaches in the government and the private sector. So we have to be able to adapt to how the threat is adapting, because they're ready to turn on a dime on whatever's going to give them a competitive advantage. We have to be prepared to react faster. We have to be able to observe, orient, decide, and act faster than they can, the old traditional OODA loop. And so this is one opportunity, is to get tools that support that.
Yeah, I think flexibility is it's a key word here. Be able to embrace change and not have to think too much about it. So I think ultimately a tool that allows you to do that, to turn on and off what you really need. It's not just one rule that it's valid for every business. Every business has its own needs. Every business needs their own set of data. And for sure, Sean, more data is important, but also more clarity and more confidence in using the right data.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important to recognize that the business is innovating. As you pointed out, JC, the threat actors are innovating. I think it's time for security operations to innovate as well. Take a good hard look at your own program, be honest with yourself, and look to see how you can take things off-prem into the cloud, collect the data you need, get the clarity you want, and really focus on helping to drive the business and protect that revenue that gets generated. So I think a great series of funny videos, and we're doing a series of conversations to companion those videos. And I would invite everybody to clearly look at their story here on ITSB Magazine, but also at logshonesttruth.com to find the full series of videos. And with that, JC, thanks for giving us your insight and sharing this confession of a CISO.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
We hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you learned something new and the story made you think, then share itsbmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.